Adam Leshinsky, executive editor at Fortune, has covered Silicon Valley for years and is author of the new book titled Wild Ride, Inside Uber's Quest for World Domination. Adam, good to see you.
Thank you, David.
For starters, you know what's wild is reading this book, the time frame is so compressed. I mean, you read about Uber's ancient history back when it was just a smartphone-assisted limo service for cool kids. What was it called? Uber Cab, I think?
Uber Cab, right.
Yeah, and it's not 1963. It's like middle of 2010.
That's right. The whole thing, start to finish, is about 7 years old. And it was even younger, obviously, when I started working on the book. And that was part of the thesis for doing it, is that it sprouted so quickly. And this was a function of the iPhone itself, by the way. There were iPhones everywhere. The App Store was everywhere. You could stand up a business almost literally anywhere. And that's how Uber got going so quickly.
Well, your hero, anti-hero, villain, I don't know, CEO, Travis Kalanick.
Central character.
Yeah, the central character. Let's call him that. You had met him here and there, but then you finally sent him an email saying, I'd like to write this book. What happens to you?
He responded to say, first of all, he was very flattered that I wanted to write a book about Uber, but that the time wasn't right. And if I persisted in writing a book about Uber, he would sabotage my project by finding someone else to write an authorized account, and so he would appreciate it if I would stand down.
When you come out of that quote from his email, you say to yourself, oh, well, this is good, because what? You got a taste of the real guy.
Yeah, normal people might be upset by an email like that, but a journalist who wants to write a book says, well, he validated what I thought. I think I'm off to a very good start here.
Yeah, I mean, he could have written back something like, thank you very much for your interest. You never heard from him again. Right. He is an intense character.
Yes, extremely intense.
I mean, there's a moment where you're traveling with him in China. He's being heralded at a business conference, but there's a chance he has to stop in South Korea, possibly to face a judge because of ongoing litigation there. His life is complicated.
Yeah, and I like the breezy way you set up the anecdote, because that's sort of every day for him. I mean, one day he's meeting with the premier of China. The next day he's deciding, should I fly on a private jet to Seoul to be arrested? And if so, will the Korean prosecutors honor our agreement to let me leave? Or will I be perp walked and embarrassed in front of the entire world? And well, that decision was resolved. They decided not to go to Korea. And the next day he's eating an omelet, doing his email in a hotel lounge.
It's so intense. But look, Travis Kalanick wants to fix something that he sees is broken. He sees taxi markets as overregulated and not operating correctly. He sets out to fix this.
That's right. He saw a taxi market starting in San Francisco, but then pretty much everywhere else in the world where there were too few cabs, because that market is suppressed by a medallion system that had been around for decades, and too high prices as a result. And his brilliant, magical system could solve both those problems in one fell swoop.
It's interesting to remember that the initial concept for Uber did not involve getting non-employees to use their cars.
That's exactly right. The initial concept, which, by the way, was not Travis Kalanick's. It was a guy named Garrett Camp, who was his co-founder, had founded a company called StumbleUpon. The initial idea was to hire limousine drivers and to buy limos and to have a very high-end service that would mirror what taxis do, but be far better than taxis, less expensive than limousines.
So this notion of there's something broken, we're going to fix it, we're going to see it a different way, is not revolutionary in Silicon Valley. But this idea that rules do not apply to the Uber crew, they've taken it to quite an extent.
Yeah, you know, my last book was on Apple, and I had a whole section on Steve Jobs as rule breaker. It turns out Steve Jobs was kind of a piker in the rule breaker department compared to Travis Kalanick. Uber came into cities and said, we don't think these regulations match the modern world. They don't apply to what we're trying to do. And so we're going to ignore them. We'll ignore them in plain sight, however. We're going to tell everybody what we're doing after a fashion, after we've started operating. Most importantly, we're going to tell our prospective customers what we're doing. They're going to like it so much that they're going to complain to their city officials, and we're going to get those regulations changed. And over a period of 2 to 3 years, they succeeded at that more than they failed.
They still are having some trouble with their corporate culture, though. This rules do not apply to them has come back to haunt them in many different ways. Well, in fact, Uber is accused of having a culture that's bro-centric, where harassment is tolerated. There's, I think, an outside review that's going on about just these issues right now at Uber.
That's right. They've hired former U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder to investigate their own culture.
You've witnessed that culture firsthand. I mean, is there a capacity for change? Could it shift?
It could shift in that Uber has a lot of money and they've hired a lot of good people and they have the capacity to professionalize. And in many parts of the company, they are quite professional and they've accomplished amazing feats. It all comes down to, however, to what extent Travis Kalanick buys into the need for change. That's the entire subject, and I don't have the answer for you today. If he decides we need a lot of change, they can accomplish it. If he drags his heels and says, oh, I actually think we've come so far and people don't appreciate how far we've come doing it the way we're doing it, then they won't change, and we'll see how that works.
There's an evocative extended scene in the book where you go in for an interview at Uber. It's going to be this two-hour interview, and Kalanick wants to go out for a walk with you, the nighttime streets of San Francisco. And it's a wide-ranging discussion, but among the points that he would like to discuss is he wonders if you think he's an a-hole.
Yes.
He uses the whole word. And what do you answer at that point?
Well, I refuse to take the bait. For whatever reason, whether it's my personality or whether it's a journalistic tactic, my response is, well, you know, that's really a matter of opinion, not fact. And I'd rather not share my opinion. I'm more interested in what you think. And his response to me is that, well, first of all, I don't think I am one. And secondly, I disagree with you. And he's a great disagreeer. He enjoys disagreeing, and I enjoy disagreeing. And so we got on very well in that regard. He said, and furthermore, I think it is a matter of fact. Somebody is or they aren't. And we go back and forth.
It could be a data-driven answer to whether or not Travis Kalanick is or is not an a-hole.
If he were sitting here, he would agree with that statement 100%. Yes.
And then, of course, there is data that happens after your conversation that you think confirms that perhaps he is one.
Well, to be fair, the vast public became convinced that he is one when this video surfaced on the web of him berating an Uber driver after an unpleasant exchange in a ride. By the way, that same night, I took an Uber ride with him, and the driver of the car recognized that he had the CEO of Uber in the back seat. And a very interesting conversation ensued where the driver sort of politely read him the riot act about some things that weren't working. That exchange was very cordial and productive.
Of course, a journalist is sitting next to him as this is happening.
Yes, I was going to say, was it because I was sitting in the back seat? I put that question to him, and he insisted I have these conversations all the time. Just ask my product managers. They're constantly getting emails from me and so on. And I don't doubt any of that. But what we witnessed in that video also was the true Travis Kalanick.
But it informs what happened to you in the back seat of that Uber with the CEO of Uber informs what we learn later with the video, which is he must get this all the time. The driver, probably quite rightly, was asking about policy. He was critical of what he was getting paid. But the driver did bear down, and it must be that regardless of the hour that Kalanick gets into one of these cars, he's often having this kind of conversation.
Well, and he welcomes that, by the way. He will tell people that Uber is his baby and that Uber is his life. And, you know, he doesn't have a family. He's not married. He doesn't have a steady girlfriend at the time. And he lives it. He embraces it. He relishes it. But obviously it can be a bit much at times, as it would be for anyone.
Has Travis Kalanick gotten his copy of Wild Ride yet?
He's gotten a copy as well as a download for the audiobook, which I read. And he told me that he likes to listen to audiobooks at two times the normal speed.
Oh, what are the chipmunk version of Adam Leshinsky. Okay.
Correct. But I don't know if he has listened or read yet.
Okay. So you haven't heard back.
Correct.
All right. Well, we'll see. Wild Ride, Inside Uber's Quest for World Domination by Adam Leshinsky, who's executive editor at Fortune. Adam, thank you.
Thank you, David.